Hello and welcome to the Footbait English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English. We're going to be bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan leagues, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world. My name is Jordan Florett, and I'm your host. And today I'm joined by the rest of the Footbait English team, former Caracas FC and Venezuela international Kat Shepherd, and Venezuelan football experts Dominic Bisogno and Kevin Vivas. With this short introductory episode, we just want to tell you a little bit about ourselves and our connection to Venezuelan football and what you can expect from the Footbait English podcast. So let's begin with Kat. Kat, how are you?
Hey, everyone. Doing great. How about you?
Yes, very well. Thank you. I'm very pleased that all four of us could be together. I'm based in London. Kat's in Madrid. Kevin's in Caracas and Dominic's in Duluth in Minnesota. So it's a truly global first episode. So yeah, Kat, tell us a bit about yourself and your background in Venezuelan football.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I'm really, really happy to be part of Footbait English. Super excited about this new adventure that we have with the podcast. And yeah, really thankful for all of you guys. Now, about myself, well, I was born in Caracas, and like Jordan said, I played for Caracas FC and also played for the national team, for Venezuela's national team. And then I went on to play college in the United States, and now I'm in Madrid, and my passion is women's football. And so my connection to Venezuelan football is, you know, what I lived, you know, there when I played there, and how everything is evolving, you know, like in the women's football scene, you know. And right now my special interest in women's Venezuelan football is how women's players are exporting their talents more than ever to a lot of countries. And yeah, so that's my passion. That's what I want to continue to work on. And yeah, that's what I want to bring in to Footbait English overall.
Great. Great. And I'm delighted that you're part of us. Obviously we've been up on Twitter since July now, and I'm so happy with the uptake of interest around the world in Venezuelan football. I think it's something deserved. And I'm really pleased that we're bringing it to people. Our next host is Kevin. Kevin is really, for me, the main inspiration for me falling more in love with Venezuelan football than I was to begin with. And yeah, he was a big contributing factor in starting up Footbait English. So Kevin, tell people a bit about yourself and your background in Venezuelan football.
Well, hi everyone. And first of all, I'm glad to be here. I'm not fluent in English, but I'll try to do my best always. And well, it's a glad to be with you here in Footbait English. Well, and I started watching live European football as everyone here in Venezuela, but I always had my love in La Vinotinto. But when I entered in a Revolution Soccer forum, I had in my user bar, I was Real Madrid fan. So there were a guy which was fan of Caracas, and he told me a term that we use here when you encourage the European football. We say pastelero. It is in relation of the Portuguese people who come here and well encourage the foreign football. So well, I did not consider me a pastelero because I loved La Vinotinto. So I was starting to search about our football. So I started to be fan of Caracas Football Club. And then in the forum, I were the moderator of Liga Football. And so I was 14, 15, 13, 16. And I was all the weekends watching all the games like Tucanes Amazonas, which does not exist right now, against Caroni, any match. And well, I started to be an expert without knowing. I was becoming an expert and looking for all the data, and well, I keep increasing my knowledge. And well, I right now I am also in Once Footbet, which is a a good page about Venezuelan football. And well, thanks to Jordan here, and I was the, and well, I am currently the translator of his book.
Excellent, Kevin. Thank you again for all the inspiration you've given to me over the past 2 years and getting Footvay English up and running. And someone that's been pivotal to the continuity, the regularity of Footvay English is our fourth and final host, Dominic Bassogno in America. His regularity in posting, like I said, is phenomenal. He keeps us going when things are quiet. And his dedication to Venex, the Venezuelan football diaspora, is second to none.
Hey, great to be here. So I'm a sports journalist based in Duluth, like Jordan mentioned earlier. I'm the other half of the Twitter account, more or less. I try to be anyways. My interest in Venezuelan football is mostly because of my heritage, I guess, with my dad being from Valencia. And as I grew more into following football here, that just was a natural branch of that and a way to stay more connected to that heritage in a place like Minnesota, where there really isn't other ways to do that in person outside of family. And I also just love the sport in general, so it's a great way to further that. I've really enjoyed, you know, being part of the Twitter, searching for videos of goals for hours to try to find obscure things to get people's attention, and live tweeting games and all that. So it's great to be here.
So with the Footvay English podcast, we're hoping to raise interest in the Venezuelan game. And as part of that, alongside the interest, increase people's knowledge, not just about Venezuelan football, but also Venezuela as a country, something that in the world, we only tend to hear one theme about, politics, but obviously there's so much more about a country and football, the way it connects societies and communities. Is therefore a great way of understanding more about a country and the people that form societies and communities which ultimately form a country as a whole. And it's one of the great things about Venezuelan football is it's growing in stature, it's growing in professionality, or at least many people are trying to get it to grow in professionality. And it's really starting to become a noticeable country on the continent. So to ask one of our other panelists about why Venezuelan football is increasing in its prominence, I thought I'd put that question to Kevin. Kevin, why do you think Venezuelan football has had this growth in the past, let's say, 15 years?
Well, I'd say that the biggest and the first influence, it was after Richard Páez arrived to La Vinotinto as a manager. And because we were a country which does not support the Venezuelan football. People here always watched Maradona, Pelé, when Maradona came to Táchira in the qualifiers. The stadium got full to watch Maradona and the people dressed of Argentinians. And after Richard Páez arrived, people here started to believe that the Venezuelans can play football and can compete with all in the continent. So after that, I think that the children, the kids in football started to play and trust that they can compete with everyone and started to dream to be football and professional footballs. And so we keep increasing that dream. Which is stronger than before, each stronger than to qualify to our first World Cup. So it was with the same reading of the Venezuelan football, and you know, the league, and the people now that love that relationship with Venezuelan football is now strong, but it can of course become in a cultural link, which we don't have yet, like Argentina or Brazil.
And massive to that growth in the past 15 years, but perhaps something that the wider football world don't know about is actually the very, very prominent role that the women's team on the, particularly the international stage, played in that. Kat, could you give us a bit of a rundown on, obviously you were involved at the very beginning of when this continuous growth that's happened over the past 10, 11 years. You were there at the very beginning. You've seen girls come through in the categories under you, and how their setup, the professionality that surrounds them has changed. So if you could tell us about the importance of the women's game to Venezuela and why you think it's captured the nation's attention in a way that we haven't really seen in too many countries around the world on the same intensity that Venezuela had.
Yeah, so that's definitely true. I mean, I can only think back from when I was in the national team. I started being in the under 17s. And I mean, the difference is brutal from when I was there until now, in every aspect, you know, organization, resources, the attention that it's given to the teams. It's brutal. I mean, and not only the national team, but the domestic league as well. It's had its up and downs, but it's seen a lot of improvement. And I think that a lot of that comes from, it's just that, I think that women's football, its growth, it's just really hard to stop. You know, it's something inevitable. Like it was long overdue, and after, for example, after my generation came through the national team, it was the generation after that, or a couple of generations after that, with Vero Herrera, Kika Moreno, and all of those that went to the first World Cup in Trinidad and Tobago, all of those, like, that's when it really, you know, started to just go off, you know. And so after that, everyone saw that we had a lot of potential. Like, I mean, there's always been potential. The potential has been there for a long time, even from before me. But when you spend the resources and the time to plan and to prepare these girls, results come by, and that's the proof of that. So from then on, it just went from there, and we can see it now. Well, with that, we saw how the domestic league got, you know, also a lot better. And we also saw a professional league in Venezuela for women's. And then after that, we have seen how a lot of players have been going to play abroad, which when I was playing, that was something that was very hard to just think about, you know? And not only playing abroad, but playing professionally, which is like, that was like the dream for me and the people I played with. And now when we look back, for example, I'm really good friends with Oriana Dube, Andrea Tovar. Those are the girls that I played with back when we were 16 and 17. And playing professionally was just like, it was a fantasy. It was a dream that we didn't even think that was possible. And now seeing them achieve that dream, it's just priceless. And so we've seen that because of that growth in the national team and in the domestic league, our women's football in Venezuela has grown so much. And like, teams in other countries in South America, like Colombia, for example, there's a lot of Venezuelan players there, in Chile. And now here in Europe are starting to see that, you know? And like, for example, here in Spain, we have a lot of girls playing here in all three tiers. And so I think that's the product of a lot of work and a lot of passion put from the girls from when I was there, you know, because we played out of passion, period. A lot of times we didn't see the right conditions met to play. We didn't see any economical retribution, anything, but we did it out of love, you know, and that's just starting to pay off. So I'm really happy about that, and I'm really, really looking forward to what is gonna come after. And yeah, I want to be there, and I want to help putting, you know, my work into Football English to be a voice to let the people see what Venezuelan football in the women's side is all about.
What I found particularly interesting as an outsider is what really galvanized a nation behind the women's team for two reasons. Firstly, was the age bracket. In England, if a youth World Cup or a youth championship like the Euros is taking place, it sort of passes without note. People don't really watch it. Only the diehards. Yet you had not only an under-17s national team captivate a nation, but the women's national team as well. Why do you think the circumstances, or what were the circumstances that allowed and encouraged an entire nation to get behind a group of girls as young as 14 for this under-17s run that really went through two unbeaten South American championships, back-to-back titles, not losing a single game, and then a World Cup that a whole nation got behind?
Well, I think that football overall, in men's and women's in Venezuela, has been the thing that has united everyone. It has been the thing that has brought that hope and that, like that distraction from the hard circumstances that we live through, but mostly unite people, you know. I think that no other sport and no other thing has achieved that. And when people saw that these girls, first of all, when people saw that there were that there was a girls' national team, you know, from Venezuela, I'm pretty sure that was already a surprise. And when they saw how successful they were and how good they could be, I think that, you know, brought a lot of excitement. And so I think that we like, you know, very deeply, we like to support and we like to cheer up for our own, especially when they bring so much so much hope and so much happiness, and they make people proud about being Venezuelan and about who we are. You know, it's just more of supporting my national team. It's more about this is Venezuela and this is what Venezuela can be. This is a reflection of who we are and who we can be. So I think that was something that was really important that played a part there. And it also plays a part in the men's national teams as well. But I think that for the women's side, that was something that was really, really important, that sentimental part, that socially speaking. Yeah.
And you said about the dreams that you had when you were 16, 17, about going professional, and in particular, going professional and being abroad. And perhaps no country in the women's as well as the men's game has benefited as much from Venezuelan talent as the United States. So Dominic, as our MLS expert, as somebody of Venezuelan heritage in the US, very much dedicated to US soccer, how has MLS benefited from Venezuelan talent? Because I think it's fair to say it's probably the league in the world that's benefited the most.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because if you look at the origins of MLS, which of course is a relatively young league, the first season you have Gio Savarese, who's like this iconic player from those early years with the Metro Stars. But then after that, and if you ask any fans, MLS fans from those early years, they'll know him. But then after that, for maybe a decade, couple people peter in and out, but it's pretty quiet. But then after Joseph arrived at Atlanta, it and obviously had an amazing first two seasons with them, it kind of created this completely new energy. And like you said, it's almost become like the primary, I guess I was probably the primary non-Spanish speaking league, I guess you could say, for those towns to go to. And now, I mean, half the league, half the clubs have Venezuelan players. And a lot of them have been successful. People mostly focus on Joseph, but they don't keep in mind that Alejandro Fuenmayor won the US Open Cup the year after Joseph won the league. They don't think about the crowd of Venezuelans at the Portland Timbers right now that just won the MLS is back tournament trophy, or El Brujo at Philadelphia now. I think you've seen a lot of teams in MLS take a huge advantage of the affordability of talent they can get from Venezuela. The best Venezuelan players in the league this year were all straight off of Liga Footbay, like from this year. They were brand new purchases. They weren't the European vets that were coming back or anything like that. And I think that they've really benefited from being able to promise Venezuelan players, but also other players, Paraguayan players, for instance, like Miguel Amarón, a pathway to build their profile, to get to maybe Europe or get to, you know, wherever it is, and be a transition point for them in their careers. So I think the league is better for it. I think the teams are better for it, as shown by Silverware. And I think it's really helped build, you know, in the U.S., which, to be perfectly frank, is a country that has a very complicated political relationship with Venezuela. I think it's really helped, to what Kat was even saying earlier, it's helped revise how a lot of people in this country think of Venezuelans. Just for a lot of them now, not all of them, obviously, football isn't the main sport here, but when they hear that country name now, not for some of them at least, the first names that come up aren't controversial leaders or some sort of military incident or whatever it is. For a lot of them now, it's athletes, it's athletic stars in MLS or maybe even in Europe. So I think that's a huge impact both on like the cultural connection, but then of course for those players again who are building a profile.
I put a follow-up question related to MLS and US soccer in general to Kevin. I've spoken to quite a lot of players in the past 2 years, and what surprised me is some of the attitudes, not just in players, but also younger players' parents, coaches, club presidents, that still have this dim view of US soccer, this like negative view of US soccer that maybe was commonplace in Europe 20 years ago, because, you know, MLS had a reputation of being a retirement league where aging stars went to get, you know, a last payout before the end of their career. But that has changed. MLS and especially some of the club's individual facilities are phenomenal. Some of the facilities that they have are world-class and only matched in Europe by some of the top teams. Across all sports, the amount of money that US entities and government put into sport is phenomenal. So it is curious for me, speaking to players, coaches and managers, that some still have quite this negative view of US soccer and would rather their players or the players themselves would rather go straight to Europe, even to lesser or smaller leagues. They'd still prefer that to the US. Why do you think that negative attitude persists, Kevin?
Well, I think that the main problem is that the people believe that if they start or they go to an American team, they will have less probabilities to go for Europe. And for example, that there are even not just Venezuelan journalists, Ecuadorian, Argentinians, that believe if there is a player who goes to United States, for example, Ezequiel Barco, which is very good, an Argentinian player, and it is like a step back for his career. And to Venezuelans, we were like in a trial, because this was the first times that our players were going in mass to United States. And the first player who could go from United States to Europe, it was Yangel Herrera. Also, we had Jefferson Savarino, which he did not arrive to Europe yet, but he went to Brazil. So it has been improved in the last years, in the last 1 year, yes, in the last year or two maybe, that the players who go to United States can arrive to a better team. And also I see it will happen the same with Cristian Cáceres. So I think that the time will talk about that and the people start to get silence about that belief.
And just to end today's episode, because it really was intended to be a short one, just an introduction to listeners about Venezuelan football and its growing prominence, not just in South America, but in global football. I thought I'd end with a question for Kat, because the prevalence of Venezuelan football players in Spain is ever increasing. And in fact, in the women's game, outside of the US, Venezuela is practically unmatched for representation. It's in the top five most represented countries in all three of the top divisions in Spain. Obviously, there's the language commonality that it was always going to aid Venezuelans moving to Spain and playing in Spain. But why do you think, particularly in the past couple of years, not only have Venezuelans started to move to Spain in higher numbers to play football, but have also had some of the greatest individual successes in recent years?
Well, I personally think that, I mean, like you said, language aids a lot, and it doesn't only aid teams to communicate with players and stuff. It aids the players to, you know, it helps their process of getting used to the new country, you know, getting used to the new country, getting used to everything. When you move from one country to another, the process that it takes to adapt to that new place is important, especially when you're talking about a football player. You know, you have to be comfortable in order to be successful on the pitch and feel good. So I think that that's one thing that has helped a lot. I mean, Venezuelan players here feel comfortable in a lot of ways. Spanish culture is very much like ours, and I've come to learn that a lot in the recent, you know, in the last 2 years that I've been here in Madrid. And yeah, I think that plays a big role. Also, speaking about how football is played here is very similar to how it's played in Venezuela. Like, all of Venezuelan players started there, obviously. you know, we have a certain style, right, of play, and I think it's quite similar. Obviously, here I think it's a little bit more physical than over there, and tactical concepts get a little bit more not complicated, but a little bit, you know, more elaborated, I guess, so to speak. So in that sense, you know, that makes players grow a lot when they come here. So you obviously see a lot of growth in their football from when they were in Venezuela or in another country and they come here. But I really think that's a good combination of those two things, you know, being comfortable outside of the pitch in every sense, and then that yielding to good results and good performance in the pitch.
Excellent. And I really think it's been a great 12 months for women's football Venezuelans in Spain. Obviously, Ori Altuve, one of your best friends, was voted the best Ibero-American player in the world. Tremendous achievement. And Dana Castellanos, who arrived at Atletico Madrid in January, it's fair to say, since the new season started in September, October, has taken the league by storm, having a phenomenal season at a very young age, and has certainly not done anything to dispel the hype around her of perhaps one day being the best player in the world. Just to wrap up this episode, I thought it would be good from each one of us to give one sentence on why you think Venezuelan football is interesting and people should stand up and take notice of it. And one player, Venezuelan player to look out for in 2020. So we'll go Kevin, Kat, and then Dominic.
Venezuelan football is very interesting to watch because it's so hard to explain because it's like something that you never expect that which can happen in this league, and for that reason it always blends the politics, the football as well, the actual situation in which we are involved. For that reason, I invite us to hear us and see what happened always here.
And your one player to look out for in 2020?
2021.
Yes, sorry, 2021. New year, isn't it?
2021. Well, maybe, as I told you, I like so much Luis Cassiani, which is a right back who is 18, right? And he plays in Caracas Football Club.
And do you think he'll get the opportunity to showcase his talent this year, considering Eduardo Ferreira is also a very, very talented right back?
Well, but he's younger, and I think that maybe the youth role can help him. And well, he will be seen right now in the South American Championship U under 20.
Okay, and Kat?
I think that Venezuelan football, I mean, I'm gonna piggyback from what Kevin said. I mean, it's exciting, but I think it's exciting because it's like, you could say it's uncharted territory for a lot of people. I mean, it's something that a lot of people don't know about, and there's so much to it that, I mean, I just invite everyone to just, you know, there to get a little bit more about it. And I think everyone would be surprised to learn a lot of exciting things about football. So yeah, and the player to watch, I think it's tough, but I think I'm gonna go with Yerliane Moreno because I think that she is she's a very exciting player, and I think that her performances in the national team have been outstanding, and I think they will continue to be. She has a lot of future in the national team. Well, now in the senior team, because she was the captain for the under 20s, and now she's playing in Tenerife. And I think that when she gets 100% comfortable here, I think that she will get more opportunities to play in Liga Iberdrola, and I think she could make a great impact. So, yeah.
And hopefully we'll see this year, although it's up in the air at the moment, the final stages of the South American under 20s. And if they qualify, then the under 20 World Cup. Obviously, that's all up in the air at the moment with coronavirus. It's currently postponed.
For now, it's not going to happen by what I've read. Hopefully, they change their minds and maybe give them a chance at least to finish the South American Championship at least. But yeah, definitely that would be the place to definitely watch her and. Hopefully she can translate that into her club team performance.
And lastly, Dominic, a sentence from you on why you think people should take note of Venezuelan football and a player that you think will have a stellar 2021.
So for my sentence, I feel like a common theme in football Twitter and football, the football audience in general, is that people are are getting tired of a lot of stagnation in the sport. The same teams win the same things, and this every year they spend the same money on the same players, and everything's, there's a lot of, you know, the same owners with the big money by the same clubs. And I think what's so great and sometimes an obstacle, but mostly so great about Venezuelan football is it just doesn't stop changing. It just mercilessly continues to change, both in terms of how individual players do, how Liga Footway does, all of it. It just is constantly amorphous. And I think a lot of fans that are clouded by that, by being upset about that stagnation, could find a lot of enjoyment in paying a little more attention to Venezuelan football because of that, as something that isn't stagnant. It's kind of the opposite. For my player, this isn't exactly like a young player, because that's kind of the direction everyone else is going, but a player that I'm very interested to watch in 2021, and I guess since I'm kind of technically the MLS guy, is a guy who struggled for minutes in 2020, didn't see much of the pitch, but Joseph Martinez. Like, I have no idea what next year is going to look like, or this year is going to look like for him. But I'm absolutely fascinated to see what it does look like. Atlanta were kind of not great last year, but of course he played half a match for them the whole season and then got injured. I'm super interested to see what he looks like under a new coach, a lot of new players coming into that team. I think he could have a huge return to MLS, and also maybe a huge return to international play, depending on how that all plays out.
Yeah, and it's another MLS country that MLS club that could be boosted by the arrival of at least one more Venezuelan player. We're seeing it apparently closer to happening. Ronald Hernandez, the right back that's been at Aberdeen for the past 12 months, is apparently on the verge of joining Atlanta. And a few younger players still in Liga Footway have also been linked with Atlanta. So it's definitely one to pay attention to for Venezuelan football fans or new converts to Venezuelan football. So I just want to end today's podcast by saying, firstly, thank you to Kat, Kevin and Dominic for being here, and also for being there every day in Footvey English. We've got a very active WhatsApp chat, constantly new things. Like Dominic said, it's a league very much in flux and a country very much in flux, and there's always new talking points. So hopefully you'll really enjoy the episodes to come. Next up is an episode with Alex Stewart, the head of content for the Athletic UK and somewhat of a tactics guru. He is going to be breaking down for us the grand final of the 2020 season, which saw Deportivo La Guaira win their first ever league title with a win over Deportivo Táchira. So that will be coming up in the coming week or so. Until then, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye from us.